At the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, the United States was recording 60,000 to 70,000 new cases every day. We got there again last week. That was also the week Jackson County recorded the highest weekly total of new cases since the beginning of COVID-19. And Shasta County is also showing high new numbers, high enough to prompt the state of California to increase the level of restrictions on activities starting this week. That, plus a boost in cases and restrictions around the world, is the backdrop for our weekly question and answer session on COVID-19 and the pandemic's progress in the region. Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County's medical director, joins us once again. Welcome back, Dr. Shames.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tim Mapes joins us as well this time, back from Shasta County, where he is the media liaison for public health. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Jim Shames, Jackson County, most cases in one week ever, October 11 through 17 at 138. What is the set of issues Jackson County is dealing with?
Oh, I think it's kind of the same issues that most everyone's dealing with, at least in part. Kids going back to school, people getting kind of tired of the restrictions, and people coming inside because it's colder and wetter. And I think that's a lot of it. And then, you know, every time you have an outbreak, it spreads. And if you get a couple of those simultaneously, your numbers just go up and stay up for a while.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lane County was on the call with us last week, and then shortly after our chat ended up on the Oregon governor's watch list, potentially risking greater restrictions. Is Jackson County, to your knowledge, coming close to the guardrails that would put it back in the watch zone?
Well, we can see the guardrails. We're not there. I can't remember the numbers now, but the last time I looked, we were not quite up to getting back on the watch list. But it could happen if we can't, you know, turn this around.
That was the what was it? The not the spontaneous outbreak. What am I trying to say? The what's that term? It's an outbreak you can't really trace, is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but that was one of the bigger numbers. Now, what about test positivity rate? I see 6.2% last 7 days.
I don't know what it is now. Mm-hmm. I know that we are increasing our robust testing capability, and we do expect the numbers not to keep going up.
Okay. Let's turn to Shasta County and Tim Mapes. Shasta is going to be in greater restrictions in the purple tier. First of all, explain what that means for the folks on the Oregon side, and then what the general picture is in Shasta County.
Yeah, California has a tiered system. There's four tiers, and it goes from minimal to widespread. About a month ago when they kind of started this tiered system, maybe a little bit over that, we started out in the moderate, you know, section, which is just above minimal, and we were one of very few counties that was, you know, having very low case rates, and you know, just as easily as you can imagine, you know, something can spread. We went from, you know, the orange tier, which, you know, had a lot of, you know, freedom for our businesses and folks, into the substantial tier. And as those case numbers go up, it's a 7-day average that the state keeps track of. And over the last few weeks, we've definitely seen our numbers really, really explode. And actually, coincidentally, for our discussion today, we anticipate we will be placed in that purple, most restrictive, widespread tier as of this morning. The restrictions would go into effect on Friday.
Okay, as of this morning. So you mentioned that Shasta County was in orange. There's a red between orange and purple, isn't there? So you're going basically two tiers up?
Well, yes and no. The way the state works, you cannot skip two tiers. Mm-hmm. So even though actually when we moved from orange to red, we really were only technically in red for almost really a couple days. I mean, we went from orange to what would have been considered widespread. We've been in purple by our numbers since last week and maybe a little bit before, but it doesn't officially take effect until today. And then in order to get off of that, we need to see those numbers go down, and it would have to be down for a 3-week period before we can move out of a more restrictive tier to a a better tier.
All right, so it takes basically days to get raised a tier, but 3 weeks to get back down a tier?
Yeah, it's a couple weeks to get raised into a more restrictive tier, but then it takes 3 weeks to get off of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things going on in Shasta County is a couple of noted outbreaks, one of them at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, which seems to get abbreviated BSSM on a regular basis. I noticed that two leaders in the county health department say that BSSM is not to blame for the increase, despite the outbreak there. Can you explain that?
Well, if you were to look at our numbers, we were having some community spread, and it was really starting to ramp up quite a bit. Definitely the outbreaks that we saw in the School of Supernatural Ministry and, you know, some skilled nursing facilities, congregate settings, did not help. But even if you were to take out those numbers that we were able to definitively track to those places, we still most likely would have gone into the widespread tier, maybe not quite as easily as we did, unfortunately. But, I mean, that kind of left us no doubt. But so, I mean, if you were to look at that, it didn't help, but it's not the absolute cause of it.
So the trajectory was there, you're saying, without that outbreak.
Yeah, we were seeing that number go up, and like Dr. Shane said, it, you know, had to do with, I believe, you know, schools going back and a little bit of COVID fatigue. You know, people were seeing some lower numbers, and we do think that people, anytime you start to string a few days or a couple weeks together where things start looking good, people start thinking, you know, hey, we don't have to pay attention as much, it's not as bad, and then it's kind of that yo-yo goes back and forth, it looks like.
Well, let's talk about that then, because, I mean, there is fatigue, sure. In fact, I could see by the notes I crossed out from last week that Jim and I already talked about this, but you've already had some issues in Shasta County with getting resistance to lesser restrictions. I mean, how concerned are the folks in the health, the public health apparatus about a greater resistance to greater restrictions?
Oh, we are concerned about it. The number one thing we try, the message we try to get out there to everybody is if you don't like these restrictions, we really got to band together and help our businesses, you know, because there are so many businesses that are trying to do things the right way, and they essentially, you know, have to because of, you know, whether they have state licenses that could be affected and that type of thing, or they really are listening to the sound science and knowing that this is something that we have to keep under control. So we're concerned about that because we do have a very, you know, as Southern Oregon does, we have a very vocal group of people up here that that really are not shy about the fact that they don't want to be wearing face coverings or abiding by any restrictions. And that's unfortunate because it's just not as easy as not following the state mandates.
This is our weekly COVID-19 Q&A with this time Tim Mapes from Shasta County's health apparatus is with us. He's the media liaison for public health in Shasta County. Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County's medical director, is back with us as well. If you have questions or comments about the conduct of the pandemic and restrictions related thereto, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Jim Shames, the word we were hunting for is sporadic.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. So, but that doesn't seem to be a problem in Jackson County at the moment?
No, it is a problem. Mm-hmm. It's hard to track every single case back to where it might have come from, and even despite your best efforts, you often just can't do it. So I think as the case numbers go up, as the more and more family gatherings and outbreaks occur, you're going to have an increase in sporadic. And finally, if people don't tell you, if people don't share who their contacts were, which is unfortunately fairly common, then everything's going to appear to be sporadic.
You mean with the tracers, they're saying, I'm not going to tell you? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So is resistance rising there, or is it holding steady?
Hard to know. Our numbers are higher, so we encounter it more. I'm really not sure if it's changed.
The idea of herd immunity, I know that somebody wrote a letter to the Mail Tribune this week and essentially ran the numbers out loud that to get the kind of herd immunity we're talking about, a lot more people would have to get sick to make that a reality. I mean, and this is not something that's palatable at all, I would think, to public health workers, is it, Jim?
No, and it's a complex issue. very disease-specific, and so it's hard to summarize quickly. But essentially, the more contagious a disease, the higher the number of individuals it would take to create herd immunity. We don't know whether the antibody production after this disease is sustainable and such that people truly will, you know, can achieve herd immunity. The sacrifice of lives is unacceptably high. There's a lot of problems with having herd immunity as your goal.
Mm-hmm. How concerned are you that the COVID fatigue will win the day? People will just throw up their hands, try to get sick, and get it over with.
I think that's a leadership issue. I think the messaging has to be consistent and clear and science-based. And so I think that we'll just have to wait and see.
Tim Mapes, just in terms of getting the message out there, how varied have the approaches been to raise awareness and compliance with the restrictions that existed and that will exist now differently?
Well, the message basically is, you know, that, you know, it comes from the top down, that, you know, you can be upset with the restrictions and that type of thing and not think that they are fair. But, you know, obviously we, you know, as a county are, you know, under the control and beholden to the state, you know, that issues their mandates. And we can be more restrictive than the state, but we can't be less. And there would be consequences, very severe consequences, to not abiding by those. I think our messaging for the public is the consequences of not abiding by them are seeing the high numbers that we're seeing now, because, you know, a lot of what we've seen with our community spread was a lot of spread by folks that were, you know, not taking to heart those mitigation measures that we needed them to be doing. You know, the lack of wanting to wear a face cover, not wanting to, but just the resistance to, you know, definitely say they were not going to wear one. So it's not just forgetting, that type of thing. You know, it's a conscious effort to not do that. And so we're really trying to get that message out there that, you know, there's not a whole lot of control that we have on the local government level. And we are in their corner for saying that we believe that, you know, restrictions could be relaxed a little bit based on us being able to trace where these cases have come from. We actually appealed to the state to try to remain in the red, less restrictive tier, because despite the high numbers that we were seeing, we do feel that we have a good sense of where these cases are coming from, and that, you know, there's an opportunity to get those numbers to go down quickly. We did it for months, and we think that we can do it again, but it's fully expected that that's not going to be granted at this time.
All right. The state had already said, I'm reading from your stuff yesterday, that they don't plan to approve the request.
Yeah, it. I don't believe it's been officially shot down, mm-hmm. but we did get the news that it was most likely not going to be approved.
Okay. I'm looking at the incident update from yesterday from Shasta County Health and Human Services, and there's a picture here that I actually may want to share on the web because it's just worth looking at. It's the Swiss cheese respiratory virus defense. Can you describe what we're looking at there?
Yeah, basically, it's really a neat little image as to what, you know, we try to tell people. You know, it's no single intervention is perfect. And, you know, you get a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, masks aren't going to stop everything, so why wear them? You know, and we want to tell people that, you know, the physical distancing itself may not stop everything. Being in an area that has poor ventilation or, you know, in close proximity to folks indoors and that type of thing, not wearing face coverings, hand washing. Once you stack all of those up, if you were to see if each of those was a piece of cheese per se, you know, even though there's holes in all of those, it becomes a thicker wall to try to get those germs through. So every single one of those things put together can really stop the spread of things. So, but you have to do them all together, and the more you do, the easier it can be to try to keep the germs from spreading.
So, Jim Shames, this really gets down to, you know, it's not, you know, masks are not the magic bullet, hand washing alone not the magic bullet, but all these things together. It's a yes and kind of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that visual, and I think it's a great way to make the point that, you know, the social distancing plus the masking plus hand washing, avoiding, you know, large gatherings, you add all that up and you are pretty safe. And the more you ignore those things, the more you put yourself at risk. And over time, you know, taking a little bit of risk every single day, you're really putting yourself in the place where you really might get the disease.
All right. So essentially, should people still be acting like they were back in March? I mean, try to keep distance as much as they do, wear the mask all the time. In fact, Oregon just upped its mask requirements, didn't it, Jim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't read them in detail, but I think it has to do with masking and face shields and being a little clear about about that. No, I think in fact we have to be more diligent now. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't just an urban center issue. You know, look where it's breaking out all over Montana and North Dakota, South Dakota, rural Oregon. People who had been led to believe that somehow it was going to, you know, pass them by. Clearly it's not. You know, this is, you know, if you need an illustration, this is everybody's problem. You could just look at the trajectory of how it's skipped from one community to another. And my goodness, you know, now it's in Shasta County and we've had outbreaks in Umatilla. So,
Far from an urban problem. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, the Dakotas in particular, very low population densities, but very high per capita rates of COVID-19, and they have not gone into great restrictions. This is our weekly COVID Q&A. Dr. Jim Shames from Jackson County Health and Human Services with us. Tim Mapes is a media liaison for public health in Shasta County. Got time for some questions from you by phone, 800-838-3760, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about politics and how that complicates things. Dr. Shames, if this were a year where we didn't have a major election with all of that upheaval and sense of I'm so fed up with blank, I mean, do you think the response would be quite the same?
Well, as I said before, and I've said a number of times, it's really obvious to me that leadership matters in these things, that, you know, we need to lead by example. People get confused. They're not sure who to believe, what, you know, who to trust. And I think there's very little ambiguity from a scientific perspective what we need to do to get this under control. So, yeah, I think, a different political environment, we may very well have been dealing with this in a very different way.
Mm-hmm. And how about for you, Tim Mapes, in Shasta County? I mean, do you think if this weren't an election year, the response might be somewhat different?
I really do think I agree with the doctor that it probably didn't help anything because it became so polarizing and it became an election issue as to, you know, either both sides pointing to the other instead of it being a concerted message. So, I mean, would it be different in an election, in a non-election year? Perhaps, but we as a country were polarized on both ends before, but I mean, did it add another way for it to be a little bit more polarized? I think so.
Mm-hmm. We have an email here from Philip, no town given. He says, I think the seatbelt to masks comparison that I've heard used is the best. Why not just keep using that message over and over? Tim Mapes, I imagine you put that out there a few times.
We do. There are a lot of laws that are out there that you could equate to the masks that, it really makes sense. And I agree with the person that submitted the recommendation that is a great one. You know, it's we know that they save lives, and you at one point, you know, for a large part of our history of our country, had a choice not to wear it. But when it's mandated and you could get a ticket and that type of thing, which nobody likes to get one of those, you did see the fatality numbers go down. So it did save people, and it made the public safer.
Jim Shames, you mentioned leadership, but also messaging, I think, is important here, too. So do you have to try to switch up the message from time to time and not keep hammering something like seatbelts?
Yes, I personally am always trying to find, you know, searching for the message that's going to click for any one particular person. So I certainly appreciate, you know, some of the concepts that Tim has put out, you know, the Swiss cheese and others. Mm-hmm. I believe very strongly in the principles that I'm putting forth. And so, you know, any time I can find a hook to get somebody to reconsider, you know, look again at their behavior, I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Halloween, because this is probably the weekend coming up when people would do their final purchases of things like candy and costume parts. What is the recommendation in terms of things like trick-or-treating, Jim Shames?
You know, the CDC and the OHA in Jackson County have got, you know, lots of recommendations for how people can approach Halloween. I think it's really important that we have opportunities to celebrate and, you know, break up our routine. So we want Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas to occur, but we have to rethink them. So you could walk down the neighborhood with your kids. You could, you know, you could be all dressed up. You could be looking at other people's houses. People could wave and say, you know, great costume. And we can do these things without bringing people inside in concentrations that put them at risk. So there are recommendations. I think they're good ones. I think we can still have a really good time.
In the Purple Tier, Tim Mapes, in Shasta County that you're heading to, are there any specific mentions of things like Halloween, or are they just terms of gatherings?
It's mainly gatherings. Mm-hmm. The state has put out some guidance. You know, they are saying, you know, California itself is saying, you know, trick-or-treating is not something that you should do. We have some, on our Shasta Ready website, you know, some lower risk activities that we tell people that they should try to, you know, try to look at doing, you know, doing things virtually, at the very least do everything outside, you know, with your own family. Maybe you could see your neighbors across the way and the kids dressed up, that type of thing. And I know my kids, I have three of them. You can kind of buy them off a little bit of, hey, I'll give you extra candy if we don't go trick-or-treating this year, and they may go for that this year. So maybe try that, I may do that.
All right, Tim Mapes, Shasta County Media Liaison for Public Health, Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County Medical Director. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Thank you.